This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious God, help us to know what your scriptures mean for us, how they are to guide us in our everyday lives. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. So, I want to hold up Justice. I'm concerned about him and that he doesn't get any credit at all. It would be really easy to forget him and not even notice his name in our first reading from Acts. He's the one that didn't get picked. He and Matthias were equally qualified for the job to replace Judas. They had been with Jesus from the time of the baptism to the ascension. That was the qualification. And they both qualified so well that when it came time to decide who was going to take his place, they had to pretty much do the equivalent of what today would be rock, paper, scissors, or flipping a coin, or drawing straws. They cast lots. And the lot fell on Matthias. So Justice didn't get picked. He had been one of the believers, one of the followers of Christ throughout all of his ministry. And so it makes sense that he would have been there that day, realizing he didn't get picked. And I'm sure he didn't just go home and pout. He continued the work of the gospel, we can be sure. He carried forth the ordinary work of the extraordinary gospel in a quiet, quiet way. And so I am going to hold him up today as an example and a model for all of us to be justice in the world. So if you think about it, who is justice in your world, in your life? When you think back upon your life, who has been the one that told you or modeled for you the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ? Maybe this Mother's Day, we think of our mothers. Maybe we think of somebody who was like a mother to us if we don't have that kind of relationship with our own mothers. Maybe a teacher, maybe a neighbor, maybe another relative or friend. Somebody who was justice for you, that in the quiet, behind-the-scenes way, supported you and loved you and guided you. Who is justice in your world? And who are you justice for in the way you live your life? And how can we be justice when our lives are so pressured? When we live in a world that seems to be just going to pieces sometimes. How do we carry that? How can we be justice in this world? This is our call as followers of Christ, to be humble servants, without all the accolades, without having to be acknowledged, without the notice. All of us have been there, right? You've done something and you've worked really, really hard and somebody else gets the credit. Somebody else gets picked when you know you're qualified. We're called to be justice, to be hidden with Christ, as it says in Colossians. So how do we do that? Well, just this. We go to the gospel. All right, and I'm going to get a little preachy-teachy here for a minute. So we're going to go to the gospel that we just heard, and I'd like you to turn to it in your leaflet. I'm going to think we're like on TV here. Page 5 in your leaflet. And I'd like you to follow along with your finger since the verses aren't marked in number in our leaflet, because I'm going to be stopping periodically. Before we begin, though, there's two clarifications that I want to make. This gospel was Jesus' high priestly prayer. He was praying for the disciples and for his immediate followers, the people that had been with him. The people that knew he was the Messiah, that were dedicated to following him. So that's the first thing to keep in mind. The second thing is that there's a word in this gospel that is mentioned 13 times. Anybody know what it is? World. Yeah. And it's a code word in John's gospel for any time that we seek our own will instead of the will of God. That is our prayer book's definition of sin, by the way. If you look it up in our catechism, it's when we seek our own will instead of the will of God and thus distort our relationship with God, with one another, and with ourselves. All right? So those are the two things to keep in mind. Every time you hear the word world, you know that Christ is talking about what's not of God. All right? It's a little confusing. All right, so we're going to start. Verse 6 and 7 establish the fact that they know who Jesus is. They know he's the Messiah. I've made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you've given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. Right? So he's given them credentials. He's standing up for them, saying, these are the real deal. They're really my followers. He goes on, I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me because they are yours. It doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't pray for those people who are seeking their own will or sinning or the ways of the world. It doesn't mean that he doesn't care. It just means that this particular prayer is for those disciples, his core community, that are going to really be carrying out this work now when he's gone. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. When you think about who has been justice in your life, they were shining with the light of Christ for you. That is glory. That's what it means when he's saying they have been glorified. I was glorified in them. They carried it out for me. I was in them and worked through them. Glorified in them. I lost my place. Holy Father, protect them in your name. All mine are yours and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. So they're still surrounded by all the people that are persecuting, all the people that they see that are not doing the will of God. Holy Father, protect them, he prays, in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. He wants them to know they are the body of Christ in this dedication. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you've given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. So even when we're faced with the difficult things, even when we're faced with horrible tragedy or terrible news, that we can still carry that peace of Christ within us. It doesn't mean we don't grieve for those things, but our joy may be made complete in following Christ in that way. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. In other words, what's the last time, or when is the last time you can remember when you had to walk away from something because it wasn't right? Maybe you made a decision not to take a certain job. Maybe you made a decision in your job not to do something that you knew wasn't right, or in your personal life. Maybe you're facing something like that right now. And the world hated them because they do not belong to the world. So people might hate you when you do that, and that's okay. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. Every week when we come here, in our Eucharistic prayer, we pray for sanctification of the holy elements, the bread and the wine. And then we also pray to be sanctified ourselves. Listen for it in our Eucharistic prayer. To be every week we come, and we've got to pray and continue to do this. Make us holy this day that we can go out and glorify you in the world. And then he says, as you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself so that they also may be sanctified in truth. Truth. And knowing that truth, just this, that we are forgiven, that we are greatly loved no matter what, that nothing can separate us from the love of God because we are one, that's how we're justice in the world. That's how we continue the work of the gospel in this place. And finally, it's just us. Meaning everybody. If you were here on Ascension Day last Thursday, you heard Father Marty tell a story that we've told many, many times in this place about, you know, I think it was Peter or whoever going up to heaven and they see Jesus and they look down at the world and everybody is just messing up and not being justice. And he says, what's going on here, Jesus? What's your backup plan? And Jesus says, there is no backup plan. It's just us now. But not alone. It's us united with Christ, glorifying Christ. That's the message, just this. There's about a zillion examples that I see in this place and all around, and I'd just like to point out several of them for you. Cindy Augustine, many of you know, is a volunteer in our office. She comes to the 7:45 service. She and I were talking the other day, and she told me a story about when she was the manager at a chiropractor's office, and she'd worked there for a long time, and there was a gentleman that used to come every week, and he was a miserable guy, and he was a real grouch, and he never smiled. And she tried, and Cindy's a really likable person, but he would never smile. Well, one day, he was leaving after he checked out, and he was leaving the office, and he was walking with his cane, and he kind of was faltering. And so she came out from behind the desk, and she said, here, let me help you to your car. And so she was walking with him to his car. She was surprised to even let her. And she said, you know, I don't know much about you. What kind of work did you do in your life? And he said, well, I was a caterer, and I had this great business. And he started to tell her about his business, and he was smiling, and he brightened, and he was standing up straighter. She was justice in his life. In the ordinary way that the gospel is spread, she cared about him. She cared. He was probably really lonely. She just cared. It was a simple thing. There was another person that comes to mind in my personal life when I was in fifth grade here, St. Joseph's School. And Mrs. Mims was one of my fifth grade teachers, and she was justice for me, because I went through a period of time for like 2 years when I had a clinical depression. And I would cry and cry and cry, and I didn't know why. And thank God it hasn't come back. But during that time, one day, when I was having a bad time, I went off in a little hallway, and Mrs. Mims came out, and she held me and let me just cry and cry. And I'll never forget her. I can still smell her perfume. She was justice for me in my life and probably helped to heal me. She just loved me. It was great. I think of all the women who are coming forward in the Me Too movement, standing up for what's right. Justice. All those who cry out to help creation and peace and justice. All are justices. I think of honoring the school teachers like we did last week, and the nurses in our midst, and especially those teachers who work in Title I schools, who minister to children of poverty, who go home to nothing sometimes and horrendous conditions. Yet those teachers, day after day after day, show up as justice. I think of people who are parents who work 2-3 jobs just to support their families every single day, living that gospel of love. I see people in our midst working behind the scenes that would be embarrassed if I called them out, but there's a bunch of them sitting right here. I see you. And God sees you as justice, as justice. In closing, I'd like to tell you a little story about Richard Lisher. He's a Lutheran minister, and he's now a professor of systematic theology at Duke University, a PhD. Way back early in his career, he wrote a book about it. He said that he was assigned to a church way out in the farmlands, and he was fairly new, had his PhD, and he thought, oh great, my mind is just going to be wasted. All this time, all this schooling, and here I am out in Podunk ministering to these farmers. What good is that going to do? So his first sermon, he stands up and he cites all these different theological points of view and all these theorists and all these people, and he couldn't understand why the people were bored to death. Next week, tried it again, no luck. Finally, little by little, he began to notice how justice was everywhere around him. There was one family with a daughter who had cerebral palsy, and he noticed how they all rallied around that family, learned to take care of her, learned to give the family respite, how they helped each other in bad weather with their crops. They were truly the body of Christ. And so he writes this, and I quote, and this he wrote 25 years later, "The only thing that made us different from any other kinship group or society was the mysterious presence of Jesus in this community. We were his body, which is not a metaphor. The ordinary world really is capable of hosting the divine being." That's what Irenaeus said. God became human that we might become divine, that we might become justice for other people. How are we being called to do so? Amen.